Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about the Mediterranean diet. It's one of those that is at the top of the list of diets. And with me is Susie Caracci. She's founder of The Mediterranean Dish and New York Times bestselling cookbook author. And thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's talk about the Mediterranean diet. It always ranks in like the top three choices for diets that help you be the most successful. But I want to know a little bit about your journey and why you have chosen to write on the Mediterranean diet.
I was born into it. So I don't think I can claim a whole lot of choice. It's kind of what I grew up eating. So I was born and raised in Egypt in Port Said. So it's a port city right on the Mediterranean. And that is the way that I grew up eating in my mom's kitchen. And so it's really all I know. And I absolutely love the flavors and I enjoy a lot of things about the Mediterranean diet that are not necessarily food related that people don't talk about. The community, the joy of participating and partaking of each other's lives around the table, all of those pieces come together. And but I am not a fan of the word diet, I have to say.
Right. So, but yet it is at in the top three most successful diets if people are trying to lose weight. Why do you think that is? What differentiates it from all of the other fads out there?
Yes. No. So that it's a very valid question. I only dislike the word diet from the perspective that the word diet comes with a certain expectation, a list of do's and don'ts. Which is really not the Mediterranean way of eating necessarily, but it is a diet in that it does help you feel better and healthier, and you do end up losing weight. And to answer the question as to why it's effective, I think it's because it's a very sensible way to eat. It is not unattainable. It's not a fad diet. It's an ancient way to eat, really. So if you're eating the Mediterranean way, naturally you end up losing weight because you're focusing so much more on wholesome ingredients. So there is the Mediterranean diet pyramid. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And it lists kind of like at the very base of the pyramid, what we eat more of are vegetables, fruits, legumes, grains. These ingredients are satisfying, but also loaded with nutrition. And then at the very tip of the pyramid, we have, you know, sweets and red meats and other things. But if you look at the entire pyramid, you don't see a whole lot. There's not the presence of ultra processed foods, for example. And so when you begin to eat this way, the Mediterranean way, you focus so much more on wholesome ingredients that are satisfying, and you naturally end up, you know, being more satisfied, and you lose your appetite for ultra processed foods, more of the Western, you know, quick diet, so to speak, the fast food diet. I feel like it's effective because it's also tasty and delicious. Mediterranean flavors are amazing. And if you just adopt that, what we call here at the Mediterranean Dish, the flavor party philosophy, you get really excited about what you're eating and it doesn't feel like a chore or a diet. So I think that's a huge part of what makes any way of eating successful is whether you enjoy it or not.
It's almost just a lifestyle choice rather than I like the word party because, first of all, no one likes the word diet, especially headed into the holiday season and what comes after. So I love the way that you're calling it a party.
Yeah. I think any regimen that you follow is successful because one would enjoy it more. So if there's a bit of the mindset behind it, There's also a bit of like just naturally focusing on better ingredients, more wholesome, more better for you, and more sustainable and cheaper. In fact, so I think, yeah, I'm happy. I'm having a big party following the Mediterranean diet.
When you were putting together your book, what were some of the things that you thought about that you really wanted to share with people and kind of why?
Yeah, so the Mediterranean Dish Cookbook came about really out of all the questions that I would get on a regular basis on our site about how do I follow the Mediterranean diet when I don't live in that part of the world. So that was kind of one of the bigger questions of the book. What are some simple ways that people here, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I go to the grocery store here, obviously, and I don't have access to the souks and markets I grew up with back home in Egypt. So it was almost, it's intuitive for me to cook this way. And I really, the reason I wrote the book is because I wanted to show people that you can eat this way anywhere. So that was kind of the premise behind it, just showing people simple ways to follow this way of eating and living. So,
Right, because it's not sustainable if you don't have the time to really focus on making the foods.
that's correct. And I will admit, I am a very lazy cook myself. I do not want to spend so much time, in the kitchen. Like most, North American moms, I'm very busy. I want to do other things with my time, but I have moments where on a weekend I want to spend more time in the kitchen and make a ritual of that. But for the most part, I'm like everybody else. I want to put something on the table in 30 minutes or less. Give me that recipe. And so that's kind of like what we do on a regular basis on the site and in the books.
So you're dispelling the myth of number one, you have to be living in the Mediterranean, and number two, that this is going to take a lot of time in order for you to manage this lifestyle.
And I think a third thing that people ask often is, will I have to be vegetarian? Will I have to completely not eat red meat? Will I never have sweets? I mean, people think it's a diet. I'm gonna give up things that I enjoy. And the Mediterranean way of eating does not necessarily at all prohibit, the use of red meat. We eat red meat too. And so people who are like, big fans of steak are worried of following something like the Mediterranean diet because they think they're going to give up all meat. And in the book, I show how, we do eat all of these things just differently and in different portions, compared to other things on the plate. I think the book has done an okay job taking some of these myths and helping people realize that it's actually a lot easier to follow this way of eating than you might think.
Yeah, let's talk for a second about health, because this is definitely a healthy way to eat, and is sustainable. So just talk about what you've heard from, you've been doing this for a while. What are you hearing for those folks that actually do adopt this lifestyle, and how has their health been impacted?
We hear almost every day, and which is kind of the joyous part of this job is getting those emails and those comments of like, oh my goodness, I lost so much weight and I've only been eating this way for a couple months. I don't even know what I've been doing, And so that's really fun to hear. We get that on a regular basis. I can't tell you how many hundreds of messages that sound very similarly. The reason why I actually took this more as when I first started writing about eating the Mediterranean way, it was just simply recipes that I cooked at home for my family. And it was simply a place on our website, themediterraneandish.com. When it started, it was just simply for the sake of my two kids, my two daughters. I just wanted to document recipes for them. And I wasn't thinking that anyone out there was going to make these recipes, maybe, but my mom, if she was even reading them. But a couple of years later, after I started getting those messages of people who found me, who were so grateful to have a place to access easy recipes to make that don't require so much energy, that don't require weird ingredients. That I would get messages saying, "Oh, these ingredients are like fine." There that I thought maybe I would have to go somewhere like a specialty grocery store. And then the emails came, started coming in with, you know, the health piece. And I think the majority of people who access our recipes come to us initially because they were prescribed the Mediterranean diet and they're trying to find a way to do that. And I will never forget this one email that came from a woman who her husband had a heart attack. They quickly rushed to the hospital, all this stuff. Thankfully, they were able to help him, and that the nurses and the doctors were talking to her about like a change in lifestyle. And she said she was so distressed, did not know how they were going to go about this. But sure enough, she started using the recipe, just simply following these recipes and making some tweaks to, you know, their grocery list. And, you know, simple tweaks such as using extra virgin olive oil instead of like heavy saturated fat, adding more vegetables and taking, you know, the time to eat around the table together and not, you know, rush through the day, not stopping by the fast food restaurant every day makes a big difference. And so we do know that it works just because people they have attested to it. But yeah, this diet is real. I am a firm believer in it, and I live it every day, and I want to tell everyone about it.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned that person got started just by making some of the dishes that you had put in your book. But how would you tell someone the best way to start on this really lifestyle change? What would be the best way for them to get started?
Yeah, I think I would start with small changes. If you're coming from a completely different way of eating and a completely different lifestyle, it is hard to just say, I'm never going to have this again. I feel like people get defeated when you tell them, you know, none of this anymore. I feel like we want to tell them, begin with making the small swaps. If you love potatoes, don't fry them. Maybe try baking them with a little bit of olive oil. If you aren't eating so much vegetables, maybe try adding one or two every day. If you love chicken nuggets, maybe try doing something at home by baking them with different toppings. So I feel like a good place to start is just say, what are my favorite foods and how can I cook them the Mediterranean way? And slowly but surely, you'll get into the habit of your mindset will change. You will find ways to alter just your daily habits. I think the biggest thing is I love olive oil and I will only ever use it. Very little do I use butter or anything else unless I'm baking, which I do. We have no problem using butter, but you will be surprised that, you know, one stick of butter will last us forever here in this house. We don't use it. So there are just some small tweaks that you can begin with right away that probably won't feel very difficult to do. The other thing is, I think the bigger part is our consumption of ultra processed food. Every food we eat is processed to some extent, right? there's not a way that we can fully avoid that. And I'm not proposing that, because that would be so difficult to do, you know, unless, I mean, unless you buy a cow and milk your own cow, you're gonna be buying milk somewhere else, right? So everything that we buy is somewhat processed. So when I say ultra processed food, it's the difference between like a can of beans is absolutely fine to use, in my opinion. A bag of frozen vegetables, if that's what you have accessible to you, is better than no vegetables. So I'm not at all proposing that everything has to be absolutely from scratch. Then we'll all have to have our own gardens to begin with, right? So, but what I'm proposing is kind of look at like the choices you're making at the grocery store. How processed is your diet? Because that is a bigger thing that I think here in the West we deal with. There is a big difference, like I said, between a can of beans and a bag of Cheetos. And so I won't buy the bag of Cheetos ever, but, you know, I'll buy something processed that is perfectly fine too, like a can of beans or a bag of peas.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
I love your philosophy because it fits the podcast so perfectly. Small changes we can make to make a difference in our lives. So I love the way that have given those examples. I'm wondering now from your cookbook, what would you say, maybe pick a couple of your favorite recipes that you'd like to tell us about? Maybe even one. What is your favorite?
Well, the book cover is one of my favorite recipes. It's a chicken shawarma bowl. Chicken shawarma is a very popular, I think now everywhere, is a very popular Middle Eastern street food. I make it at home. I bake my chicken. There's nothing, you know, fried or otherwise extra fatty about it. And it doesn't require anything special. Chicken shawarma is loaded with flavor though, because of the seasoning in it. And I just like to put it in a big bowl and add to it all sorts of, you know, salads and vegetables and, you know, hummus and whatnot. And it becomes a very, satisfying dish that's kind of layered with flavor and texture. So that's one of my favorite things in the book. Almost every recipe in the book is something I really love, or it wouldn't make it. So it's hard to kind of pick one or two, but that's one of them. There's also another, a couple of fish recipes that are really bold and come with bright sauces that even non-fish lovers have commented on in the book. And yeah, so I mean, they're all great.
Yeah, I'm asking you about that because I think a lot of us have become kind of bored with foods. Yeah. And we're trying to add more color, you know, make our plates look more appetizing and really pick different kinds of foods to eat. So yeah. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. Before I get all your information so people know how to get a hold of you and remind them of the book, any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with?
I think you just gotta embrace the flavor party philosophy. Just go in the kitchen and be excited about the flavors you're putting together. That's really the joy of it. So, yeah.
Okay. And how can people find out more about you? Go to your website and find out more about your book.
Yeah. So it's themediterraneandish.com. I am on all social media as The Mediterranean Dish. And the book is The Mediterranean Dish, 120 Bold and Healthy Recipes You'll Eat on Repeat. So, yeah.
Susie, thank you so much for being with me today.
I appreciate it. This was fun. Thank you.
And my guest today has been Susie Karachi, founder of The Mediterranean Dish and New York Times bestselling cookbook author. Thank you so much for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. Make sure you check out all of our episodes wherever you like to listen to your podcast. You can also find us on social media where you will find great tips for fitness, foods, decluttering, all sorts of things that can really help improve your life. Just those small things, those small changes that you can make in your life. And you can find us on Instagram at Moving Maria and on Facebook at Let's Get Moving with Maria. Have a great day.